Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, 11:04 on the show. Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks, of course, Kevin Wheeler, and our good friend Michael Kelly in studio. And, yeah, don't worry, that's not you, Michael. That microphone's been falling like that all day.
Too many jokes.
You know, so things happen sometimes.
You're saying that Dr. Schwartz could fix that microphone?
Yeah, 30, 60, 90 minutes
however
it could
long
hold
you need
up.
The microphone.
if we got it fixed.
We'll see if that one can just make it through the segment.
My God.
This one only needs 12 minutes.
This show's all about class, people. So if you don't mind... Yeah. Let's get back to that.
I'm just honored to be on such an aptly named show.
So creative.
Good people. Yeah, we
had a creative department work on it.
Listen, we came up with 7,000 names.
And we settled on the most basic possible.
You know why they settled on it?
One of them was going to be Kelly's Heroes.
Well, oh, there you go. Yeah.
Well, they settled on the show because it means... all of us are replaceable.
Yeah, you could, he's like, well, don't like that one anymore.
Hey, come on, man. I just started. Come on.
Like, they're like, whatever you do, don't put their names in the title.
Yeah, that's true. Then you don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's, you know what that is? That's intellectual property. If any of us get let go, we're taking it with us.
Okay.
Well, let me give you guys some props because, first of all, I've listened to the show a little bit back out since I've gotten back from Ireland. I absolutely love it. And for those people who are listening to you on a regular basis, because I found you to be entertaining all 4 hours that I listened to you, doing 4 hours of radio, take it from somebody who's done it once and sat in for these people, is doggone hard. You guys are really good at what you're doing.
You know in Avengers where they're about to start the war and Tony Stark says, we have a Hulk? We have a Kevin.
Yeah, we do.
And Kevin can talk, man.
Like,
so,
I thought you were saying I'm breaking things, which is also true.
Well, that's,
We need him in the Democrats in the Senate because he could just sit there and filibuster longer than any human being I know.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't play for party, but I do play for money.
Well,
based on a lot of people.
I can be bought.
A new concept in politics.
And then you also have Amy, which is, it's really easy to mess with Amy, isn't it? Just, you know, Amy, what are you running from? Let's talk it through.
You know what she's running from? Her awkwardness. But it's,
so it
catches up.
She's hardly awkward.
Can I just tell you, this is what Hancock and Kelly do to me every Friday. Hey, Amy.
It's good-natured riving.
Do you want to join us for a segment? You know, we're talking about these things. And I think, wow, they value my input and my opinion. And then I get on the show and all they do is make fun of me. Michael's like, I got to ask you about this. It's a bait and switch every Friday. Do I fall for it? Yes.
How'd you do on your run?
Well, you can listen to the podcast, the show. It did not go well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. That's okay. They called the medic.
Yeah, you can't do it. What?
It's generally not a good day if somebody has to call a
medic. But all your parts are here, so everything must have been okay.
I made it. Well, I barely made it. There's a picture of me that I posted that is like lurch. Because my friend goes, why'd you post the lurch photo? And it's just, you said I look like Emperor Palpatine in this picture.
I mean, kind of the face,
pale, my hands are limp, and I'm like, I'm too weak.
Feel the power
I love
of the dark side.
No, please, I'm too weak.
The medic had to show up. It's not funny, but it is.
It was like Palpatine, though, right when Vader was going to throw him down the shaft.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, it was that Palpatine.
Oh, yeah.
It must have been hardcore to have a medic at a run that's called the Grandma. Run.
It's they get past the finish line, they're just people laying all over the pavement, and they've got like the Saving Private Ryan medic. This one's gone.
Actually,
they went right past Amy, like, forget about her.
When he says there's people lying all over the pavement, it was just me. I was the only one lying on
nice.
The pavement. I know.
Was it hot?
It was warm. It's warm for a marathon. I mean, not bad. I mean, that would just be making excuses at this point. It was 66 and sunny, which you can handle because they had ice, cups of ice that people were pouring on them and sticking in their shirts. So, yeah, it wasn't hot. It was just was not my day. I just blew up.
Happens.
You all were on video, too?
Yeah. Here, we got to put some video.
Do they pay you extra for that? Did they give you a clothing budget?
No.
Let's just do this selfie style.
Hey, now.
Hey, there's Michael.
They should be, you should have some extra, you know, considerations as a result of being on camera.
Do you want to be our agent?
These guys don't know it, but I'm being paid for that.
Yeah, you are. Good for you. Well, that's because Wheeler covers all the bases.
He does.
You know, he covers all the bases.
A little bit older than them, a little more experienced.
I just would be embarrassed with the stuff that I, because sometimes there's topics where we're talking about and I have to mouth the Hancock. I don't know anything about this. What are we talking about? And I'll be like, well, a Democratic senator introduced it, Kelly.
It was about an hour ago. If anybody was watching during like the 10:15 break, because we're still on during the breaks,
right?
Amy was trying to stab Ranji with a pencil. Or a pen.
No, it was a pen. I was like, I'm going to stab him with this pen. And then Wheeler had to remind me we're on camera.
You're on camera right
you're
now. Don't
camera.
Murder Ranji.
Yeah.
You're on camera.
Hey, did you go to the Dead and Company concert?
I did.
How
it was
it?
Lovely. I ran into Tom Ackerman there.
Nice.
We didn't get to have too much of a conversation because we were in lines, etc. It was an awesome concert. You know, it wasn't as hot as I anticipated it to be. And I'm going to say it right now. I'm a Deadhead, but John Mayer makes that band. I don't care what anybody else says.
He's a brilliant guitar player. Yes, he's brilliant.
I'm going to create the ultimate sin with Deadheads, and I'm going to say he's better than Jerry.
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
Uh-oh. Hey, I will absolutely accept that because I was never a Deadhead. So whatever you tell me, okay.
I'm like just nodding along like, okay.
Yeah. You don't like the Grateful Dead?
No.
Do you know what he likes?
Way too mellow.
What are you into? Like Ozzy Osbourne?
Oh, that's mellow.
Oh, that's mellow?
He likes Slipknot.
Easy listening, yeah.
And Road Rash.
I don't even know what that is.
Slipknot, well. Road Rash is made up, but the other ones are not.
Michael, it's Slipknot very good, so I wouldn't bother.
Yeah.
Michael, I'm just kidding.
But I'll tell you this.
Kevin, it's great.
I bet if I asked Michael to join Ben Boyd and I at a Slipknot concert, he would do it, but you guys are afraid.
Yes, afraid?
I totally would go. But I don't do any of that moshing.
Oh, no, we go to the pit.
No, but good luck.
Yeah. We don't go in. We stay on the edges and
you
just
sit on
like
the
watch.
Edge.
Yeah.
Is there
I'm
any
too old for that
reasoning
crap.
Behind the pit other than just to beat the snot out of
that's
other
it.
People?
Well, see, people don't understand, though, because it's more like on the offensive and defensive lines of football. You're not actually trying to injure your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
You're just trying to get that aggression out. And there is actually a code. Like, if somebody falls, you pick them up. If somebody is getting beat up too much, you get them out.
Like
being a jerk, you get them out and get security. So there's a code that people follow.
Really?
Yes. But there are also jerks that try to ruin it.
It seems like organized chaos of people trying to hurt each other.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
That's
no.
what it is.
The goal is not to injure.
I will go watch you from a distance.
Yeah. I would do the same
thing. I'll run the cameras.
You don't want to be in there? Oh, you'll go now.
Oh,
Michael goes,
I'll
go.
Yeah, Ranji and I'll stand together.
Yeah, we'll go.
All right.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye out.
I got you, Ben, and
where
I got you.
Where would a Slipknot play? I bet it's a really fine
they play
looking...
at Riverport.
They do?
Oh, they lead tours, yes. Yeah. They sell out.
By the way, my least favorite music venue in St. Louis is Riverport.
Well, I don't even know why I call it that because nobody's called it that
what is it
in like
called?
100
Hollywood?
Years.
Yeah. I mean, the concerts are nice, but it's hard to get in and get out.
Yeah.
Right? And let's be honest. Once you get done with 3 hours of music and dealing with drunks, you want to get out. You don't want to be sitting
That's why
traffic.
I don't go to music festivals.
Right.
Just because, well, there are two reasons. One, too many people.
And two, no one invites you.
Is that right? I'm sorry. Name drop. I got invited by Cypress Hill to a music festival. So
wow,
get lost,
around.
Amy.
The soap company?
No.
How old are you?
Jump around.
What is jump around?
No, that's,
no, that's
not them either.
That's House of Pain. You're thinking Insane in the Brain.
Who is Cypress Hill?
Insane in the Membrane. Insane in the Brain. You've heard it.
Insane in the Brain.
That's it.
Insane in the Brain.
That's not the same as
now, how were you and Cypress Hill in the same?
It's a long story. They gave me tickets.
He was their cab driver.
I took them to, we went to a bar together.
Nice.
Like, I don't know, 6-7 years ago.
Wow.
I brought them to my friend's birthday party with me.
Did you really?
Yeah.
They're like, this
guy's legendary
cool.
stuff.
Yeah, it was great. It was really great.
Did they sing?
No.
Well, they don't really sing.
Well, I mean, not everybody recognized them, except the DJ there did and kind of made a big deal about
it. Did you know they
it.
Did a metal record?
No.
They did, Skull and Bones. It's awesome.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Let's check that out.
You are like Mr. St. Louis to me. Like, everything about you is right down the middle and blah, blah, blah. And then to find out you're some metalhead?
Yeah.
That's shocking
it's
to
so
me.
So good, though.
It's so shocking to me.
If you hang out more with him, you'll realize that he is anger manifested and it makes sense. Literally, I say this 100 times a day, but 90% of our show prep is just me asking Kevin if he's mad.
Yeah. Really? I almost threw a banana yesterday.
Really? So is your mouth kind of like your steam valve release? You just,
See, like, people, my wife will laugh because she knows this. Like, I am so chill 99% of the time, but when I snap, it's stupid.
Yeah, it's deadly.
It's stupid.
Yeah, hurting people.
Yeah, like, I mean, no.
I'm going to a concert.
Usually damaging objects.
Yeah.
Like, I broke the footrest on our couch playing a video game.
He does the stuff I used to do when I was 12.
Yeah.
With a Nintendo.
My Mario died.
Yeah,
God,
like, come on, this controller sucks.
Yeah, it was the leaping linebacker on Madden that got me.
I know,
I was like,
I
slammed my foot down and
snapped
it. Yep,
you told us.
Yeah.
Leaping linebacker.
It's so annoying.
And are you handy enough to repair the things that you break?
Oh, no, it's still like that. It's just sitting there.
2 years later.
Yeah. Best thing I could do is maybe some duct tape.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I have approval for that, though. All right, we do need to get to the serious strategy questions that we have for Michael Kelly. So we'll do that when we come back. Amy Marks, of course, Chris Ranji, Kevin Wheeler, and, of course, our good friend Michael Kelly hanging with us here on the show. It's 11:19 on the show. Chris Ranji, Amy Marks, scores Kevin Wheeler with you here on a Thursday.
All right, I want to toss this question to Michael Kelly. Michael, there's been a lot of talk, right, from Democrats talking about the threats to democracy posed by far-right Republican candidates and how, you know, Trump and Trumpian people are a threat to democracy. At the same time, they're pursuing this super risky strategy, which is promoting those same far-right candidates in GOP primaries, hoping that the extremists will be easier for Democrats to beat in November, meaning they want these extremists to win the GOP primaries because they think they'll be easier to beat. And to me, that seems like a very risky strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was intimately involved in the first more modern play that this happened, and it was Claire McCaskill who was running against Todd Akin. And Todd Akin, you'll all remember, had said that when a woman is legitimately raped, the body has a way of dealing with that. It was a ridiculous statement. Claire McCaskill was watching that. By the way, that show that it was set on was Charles Jaco's show, which has now been replaced by the Hancock and Kelly show at 8:30.
There you go.
Wow. You might want to listen to it. But there was a strategy where Claire ran ads saying that Todd Akin was too extreme for Missouri. And she played exactly what Todd Akin said. And the thought process behind it was that this would entrench further the supporters of Todd Akin, that Claire McCaskill, this person that they had great disdain for, would make him the nominee. And from a Democratic perspective, it was speaking to Claire's base. So it really was a genius play. What happens? Todd Akin winds up becoming the nominee, and Claire McCaskill winds up beating him in the general election at a time when people really didn't anticipate a Democrat being able to hold the seat. Now we've seen that idea evolve, right? And I think what we saw Eric Greitens do this week was really more to enrage folks like myself to continue to push that narrative so that it would fire up his base. The one exception I have with the Eric Greitens thing from my perspective is I do believe that it is the end of democracy if we are going to allow people to talk about killing their opponents. And that's exactly what the man implied in that. You watch that video. There's nothing else there. And so there's two strategies. One is to ignore it, which some people are arguing for, and others are saying to put a spotlight on it. I think Eric Greitens is going to be the nominee. You see over in Illinois, though, Governor Pritzker is running ads. He has a preferred Republican candidate, and they're running ads saying this guy, you know, is too conservative for Illinois, etc. I don't like this. Ultimately, I don't like it because I think it could backfire. The fact that Eric Greitens potentially could be the nominee here is problematic to me. I would hope that a Democrat, that enough people of goodwill and common sense would come out and say, hey, look, I may be a Republican, but I am not voting for this man who's accused of and guilty of abusing a woman. At the same time, watching Governor Pritzker do it to the Republicans and trying to get his preferred candidate, I guess, is smart political strategy, but I think it shows you where we're at now, that we can no longer convince people on our own messages. We're trying to find the most repulsive candidate from the other side to be able to elect them.
All I think about when we have this discussion is Lindsey Graham saying, if we nominate Trump, we will get destroyed and we'll deserve it. And it didn't happen that way. So it just, and I think we're even further down that line where a person who might be to a lot of people very objectionable and maybe would have been objectionable 15 years ago is just not anymore. There's a lot of appeal. Gerrymandering, I think, helps that. But there's so much appeal for people like that, that there is a real danger that somebody that 15 years ago would have been considered off the rails can actually win.
Confession. About 10 years ago, in fact, we had a KMOX event where they asked people secretly, tell us somebody, Kelly, on the other side of the aisle that you kind of like. This was 4 or 5 years ago. I said it was Lindsey Graham. Why did I like Lindsey Graham? Because he was kind of that John McCain cloth where they would work across party lines.
Right.
He was entrenched on his political belief system, et cetera. What we're seeing now from Lindsey Graham is, I think his statement is coming true. If you elect Trump, it will ultimately devour and kill all of us. It's happening. You're seeing Republicans going after Republicans now because there is no discipline. There is no standard of what a Republican stands for. There's this cult of personality that is Donald Trump and the folks that are following him. And I think that this is a party who has no leader outside of Donald Trump, yet he's not really steering the ship. He sits in the lurch and waits till somebody crosses him and says, nay, 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 and everybody goes out and beats him. I think ultimately what Lindsey Graham said is going to happen. I think it will ultimately eat him. Do you remember when he stood up the day after January 6th and said, I'm done with this guy?
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 days later, he's walking in the airport. Right. What happened to him? Mm-hmm. He was accosted. What did he have to do? He had to get on an airplane and go down to Mar-a-Lago and kiss the ring of Donald Trump. This extremism in our politics is killing us. Now, it is heightened on the Republican side. I don't think there's even any comparison to the rhetoric that's coming out of the Republican side to the Democratic side. But it's bad on the Democratic side. I mean, this city is a perfect example of it in a very red state of how extreme and out of the mainstream we've gotten. Look no further than what we're doing with our prosecutor and our police.
You know, it's really interesting that this particular strategy, getting a more extremist GOP nominee and then trying to beat them in the fall, is riskier because right now people are just overwhelmed with inflation and soaring gas prices. And you have a Democrat in the White House. Democrats run the House. They run the Senate. And so people may vote for Republicans, no matter how extreme they are, just on party affiliation alone. But I heard someone say this, which I think is actually pretty true. Do I think the Democratic policies have heightened and made certain inflation or gas prices worse? Sure. But this was going to happen. And I forgot who it was, but this Republican, I guess, politician or political pundit said, the GOP should be thanking heaven that they don't have a Republican in the White House or that they don't run the House and the Senate, because this was going to go down anyway, and you got to point a finger at somebody.
Potentially. So, look, since the 2008 crash, had every spigot on in our economy. We had this thing called quantitative easing. We took interest rates down to zero. We were handing out money. Inevitably, we were going to pay the piper. How much does the president have to do with inflation? Probably not that much. But at the end of the day, it's like being the manager of a ball team that's not playing.
You're the boss.
Right. You're held accountable for it, and Joe Biden is going to reap the consequences of it. Having said that, I was in Ireland. It's just as bad in Europe. It's just as bad everywhere else in the world as going on what's here. It's time to pay the piper, and Joe Biden's going to suffer the consequences of it. The scary thing to me, though, is that if you watch what Eric Greitens and the Republicans are doing, they're not demonizing Joe Biden. They're demonizing people inside their own party.
Well, is the operative word there yet?
Yet. Well,
because after November,
they don't have to yet.
Yeah, they'll turn it on Joe Biden. Yeah, but there are some qualified people running for the United States Senate across the country. The ones that are getting the attention in the multi-candidate fields are the ones who are saying the most ridiculous stuff.
Mm.
And so if you're upset with the fact that you have a Bernie Sanders or an Ilhan Omar or whatever their names are, that's what's driving this primary elections.
All right, we got less than a minute, Michael. How was the tone of the...
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Conversation about current events when you're in Ireland compared to the tone of the conversation here?
Well, so they're in the midst of that whole Brexit thing.
Right.
And so Brexit is a complete nightmare, particularly for Ireland, because part of Ireland is controlled by the Brits. But they the biggest conversation that we would have with people is, do y'all really have a gun? You have
a gun? They ask you that.
Yeah. They're like, do you have a gun? I'm like, no, I don't have a gun, but nearly everybody else in the country does. And why do you need these guns? And you're trying to explain to people why we have the guns that we have, and they just don't get it.
Thank you, Michael. You're the best.
Are you kicking me out?
No, you can stay.
No.
You want to hang out?
It's up to you.
I'll stay with you guys for a minute.
I'll give you a dollar.
All right.
God knows it ain't his.
All right, Amy, Kristen, Kevin here on the show. Our good friend Michael Kelly is kind enough to hang out with us for a little bit longer. So I want to run this by you because I am thoroughly confused by partisan nonsense, right, Michael. Like, I'm not confused in the sense that I don't understand it. I'm confused as to why human beings in the year 2022 are this way. So we've got the ideas being floated about gas tax holidays, right?
Right.
So we're hearing about it at the federal level. Joe Biden and the administration are thinking about the 18 cents for regular drivers. It's what, like 24, 25 cents a gallon for diesel, whatever. So it comes down to basically you might save people $100 over a 3-month period.
Right.
If you drive an average number of miles. And he's, of course, getting killed for it. It's a terrible idea. I think it's a terrible idea. He's getting killed by Republicans for it, and rightfully in this case. And then I saw a story this morning, in fact, heard it on Total Information AM, that the Republican governor of Virginia, Youngkin, wants to do the same thing, but is mad because Democrats in Virginia are shooting it down and won't approve it.
Yeah.
How does this make any sense?
We're no longer a serious society.
Okay, that makes sense.
Seriously, we're no longer a serious society in that everything is for the temporary moment, not the long term. The suspension of the gas tax is a silly idea because it really is the only form of paying for our roads that we have.
Yeah.
And then they're all posturing they're going to have a gas tax. It's hard when it's 18 cents a gallon when it's costing you, what, $5 a gallon to even imagine that, you know, that's not going to fix the problem. It's helpful. And then to do it from a local or a statewide standpoint, I guess it makes some sense. It doesn't ultimately fix the problem. What we have to do is figure out how we're going to be able to utilize energy, where we're going to get our energy from. And if this is the new world we live in, you know, that we are producing more domestic oil right now than we did during the Trump administration. Yet you wouldn't know that. We're all about let's go drill more. It's time to start dealing with the real issues and not the nonsense. Look at the gun debate. I guess we're going to finally get something done with guns, but I would argue to you that we're no longer serious when we're going to allow people to get mowed down and then get caught up into this regular conversation on a yearly, a monthly basis. There was a time when partisan politics would stop and people would come and say, hey, look, you're not going to get the whole pie, Kevin. Amy, you're not going to get what you want. Everybody's going to get a piece of what we want, and we're going to make incremental change. That's now considered to be a loser.
Well, see,
you're considered to be weak if you compromise.
Maybe I'm naive, but I feel like that's exactly what this gun agreement is that one side feels like it's too far, and the Democrats feel like it's not far enough. But it's something, and there's movement. So to me, that's acceptable to me, and maybe I'm being naive about this, but it's something.
I think it is.
It's an agreement.
Old-fashioned compromise, but I'm not going to believe that it happens until they pass it, because we've been hoodwinked by these folks on guns before, and we have made no changes in gun laws for the last 3 decades. I realize there's a compromise on the table, but if you pay attention to what the candidates for Missouri Senate are saying here. One, they're going after Roy Blunt. He's a rhino, you know, body tags and all that other nonsense that I'm not sure that they can get this passed. I pray they do. it's an incremental change. Is it going to fix all the problems? Absolutely not. We've got to keep making incremental change and common sense change, and it's taken us 30 years to get this far.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel when I look at the country, especially over the next couple of weeks, especially if the Dobbs decision, whether that drops today or at a future time, because I know the Supreme Court has said there will be an additional decision day. I look at how will this country react, regardless of the decision and regardless what plays out. I'm more fearful of people's reactions, you know, whether it's destruction or violence. And that makes me sad because, again, if we continue to talk as if the other side is actually evil, we demonize that other side, we make it morally wrong to compromise or talk to them, as if why would you negotiate with the devil, right? We demonize that other side. We catastrophize policies. People start acting in desperate ways. We're already seeing it. We're seeing political violence. And so my initial reaction as we look at these very consequential decisions or bills that could be passed is, okay, how is the country going to react?
Yeah. And can we put the genie back into the bottle? I think you're right. I think there's a big concern right now. If they come out with this new Roe, what will that mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think we passed that bridge 4 or 5 years ago where there's just no standards anymore. And part of it, you know, if you've listened to John Hancock and I, we believe it is because we have reformed ourselves into sickness. You know, we demonized campaign contributions and we've created all this campaign finance law that essentially makes good people run money through horrible organizations and dark money organizations. And as a result, this doesn't put 100% spotlight sunshine on the whole process. And that is a result of now that a person can take into a not-for-profit $1 million, which is how Eric Greitens is running. It's mm-hmm. a not-for-profit that is running those commercials on your television right now. It's not Eric Greitens. And when they show up, that they're able to utilize this process. And in the past, there would have been a party control over it. The party plays absolutely zero role in the selection and the discipline of candidates anymore because we've reformed ourselves to death with our campaign finance laws.
You know, people act according to incentives, right? We just do. If we're rewarded for something, we take that route. And I feel like in the political environment, we have rewarded extremist rhetoric. We've rewarded fringe statements. As you said, it's politics by soundbite. If I'm a, you know, if I'm a good person, it sounds like I'm a terrible person. If I'm a good person.
Let's pause. We want to keep this.
Got a long way to go, you know.
Yeah.
In fact land, please.
If I'm a good person, I want nothing to do with politics. I don't want to become a state rep. I don't even want to go to the county council. It's just ugly and mudslinging.
And again, maybe this is naive also, but I do believe, and Kevin thinks that nobody in politics cares about people, right, or very few.
I think that's very safe to characterize. Very few. And I'd say I think the priority list goes my career, then everything else. That's how I think they see it.
I think that's a case for a lot of people, but I also believe there's a significant amount of people in government who really, truly, actually think they're going to do good for people.
In government, yes.
Chris.
Elected federally? No, that's
what I mean, elected officials.
I agree with you, Chris, 100%. I can't tell you the amount of people who will come into my door or into John's door and say, hey, I want to run for office. They're not doing it because they think they're going to be a celebrity. They really want to make a difference mm-hmm. at the school board that their kid goes to or the county council that they happen to live in. And even though you may believe some of their positions are misguided, these are not people who are doing it to grease their own pockets. To be honest with you, I sometimes wonder why anybody wants to get into politics.
Right.
With everything you have to put up with to be a part of it. 99% of the people that I meet who are involved in politics, even the people who I opposed on both the left and the right, are in it for the right reasons. Mm. They want to make a difference. Like everything, there are going to be those, bad apples that exist. And I do think the longer that you're entrenched and the further you go up the system, the harder it is to remain grounded in why you got involved.
Sure. Maybe that's what I'm talking about.
That could be
because it's the people that are so tied in, they're not acting in anybody's best interest. They just have to follow the line.
Kevin McCarthy and Nancy Pelosi, when if you both were elected to Congress tomorrow, and one was a Democrat and one was a Republican, you get the same lecture from both of them. Kevin McCarthy and Kevin and Nancy Pelosi would look at both of you and say, your whole job is to get yourself reelected.
Which is the problem.
Which is part of the problem. But that's at a congressional
level. Because I can't do anything
level.
Bold if I'm too worried about job security.
Right.
So, Michael, because I've heard you and John Hancock talk about this. You know, a lot of people, I think, Kevin, I think you feel this way. Like, these people have been in Congress forever. We need to get these career politicians out. And while I understand that it's harder to stay grounded the longer you're in politics, there is something to be said for experience and
institutional knowledge,
and being able to reach your hand across the aisle.
Well, we were told Biden's going to do that. It doesn't help.
But you can't do that if people don't really want to work with you either.
Remember that compromise is seen as a sign of weakness now.
Right.
And we actually have people running ads saying that rhinos, people who find compromise, and who he's also implicating in that is Roy Blunt. Now, let me just tell you, I've spent my entire life trying to beat Roy Blunt. This is a decent man. I don't agree with almost anything he stands for. But he is doing this stuff for the right reasons. And for this punk, Eric Greitens, to come out and call him a rhino because he's going to find compromise, that's hard for me to tolerate, because even though I disagree with Roy Blunt, he is open. He listens. He wants to find a way to find compromise and to maybe move the ball down the road a little bit.
And you are speaking from a position of knowledge. You know both of them.
Yeah. Oh,
so it's not like you're just.
First time I met Eric Greitens, listen to this, you guys. First time I met Eric Greitens was 2007. I was in Denver, Colorado. What happened in Denver, Colorado? It was the Democratic National Convention.
Huh.
Where
what
they were nominating Barack Obama for president of the United States. Who was sitting in front of me? Eric Greitens.
Huh.
He was there because he was going to run as a Democrat. And then he decided that he was going to run as a Republican. This man is nothing more than an opportunist narcissist. Which, by the way, seems to be a lot more of them coming into politics. And what better place to be a narcissist than, you know, and in politics, because we give them free press to be a narcissist.
They like that attention, huh?
Yeah.
How often?
A dirtball.
I'm sure you've seen the movie Vice, right? And I know it's about Dick Cheney, and it's Christian Bale or whatever. I think it's this one where he's a young politician. He's deciding what he wants to be, and he hears, I forgot who it is, he hears somebody speaking, and he's like, okay, that guy's a Republican, I want to be that.
Was it Donald Rumsfeld?
It might have been Rumsfeld.
I think it may have been Rumsfeld, like,
How often does that happen, where a person wants to get into politics, they know that's going to be their thing, they just haven't decided what party yet, so they decide last minute because they're like,
Seems to be more and more of it happening all the
time
now.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's a real thing.
But I don't think, I mean, Donald Trump's not a Republican.
No.
Nor is he a Democrat.
He's changed five times since like 89.
Yeah, I think I would argue to you that our own Congresswoman Bush, she doesn't want to be a congresswoman, she wants to be a celebrity. And hence,
I can see that.
Yeah, hence what we have going on is not necessarily someone who's advocating for their district, but someone who gets attention. She's really no different than Marjorie Taylor Greene to me and Ilhan Omar, although her rhetoric is far more common sense than theirs. At the end of the day, she's trying to be insightful and get attention because she's really not effective in the House.
Michael Kelly with us here on the show. Michael, you are welcome to stay or go. We're going to be talking about fish next. If you have any strong thoughts
about fish. You want to talk
about
Asian carp?
The flying fish?
No. Yeah, they're flying fish.
They
fly into your boat.
In. Yeah, you swing at them with a baseball bat.
Maybe they're trying to get them to fly into your frying pan.
Into your mouth.
Yeah, they're trying to change your name, right?
Yeah, they want to. Yeah.
Thank you, buddy. Good to see you. It's a show on KMOX. Amy Marks, Doris, Chris Ranji, Kevin Wheeler. You can find anything you need to know about us really at the show KMOX on Twitter. Links to places you can listen to us, the podcast. We put those out there every day as well. You can also find all of that at KMOX.com as well. So we're talking about fish in this segment. Ranji, this is you, right? Like, you're all over this story.
Well, this is Maria Kina. This was
you're the one that was like, we have to talk about the fish.
Oh, my God. Well, okay. I think so here's what's happening. Asian carp are invasive. They're not supposed to be here, but they're in the rivers here in our area. So there is an effort to make them more palatable for you, for us to want to eat. Because if we eat them, it's going to help, right? But I think right now a lot of people think of them, first of all, they're very difficult to catch on your own. Like, they don't really, they don't take the line. If you're a typical fisherman, you throw the line out, they really won't go for it.
So they're smart?
I don't know, I guess.
Or they just,
I guess,
like,
they figured the whole thing out.
Yeah.
But there is a, but commercial fishermen, they can do this, right? So they want to change the name of Asian carp to something more
palatable,
appealing,
edible,
right? Because what was it we were talking about? Orange Ruffy in The Office. Orange Ruffy used to be called Slime Head.
That's disgusting. No one would eat a
If I knew it tasted good, I don't care what you call it.
Well, and the Chilean sea bass famously was the Patagonia toothfish, which also is not palatable. And can I just say the word carp?
So, by the way, we want to call the Asian carp Kopi now. Kopi. C-O-P-I.
Why don't we just call it tasty fish?
Okay, Kevin.
Oh, that just doesn't make any sense.
It's a tasty fish.
Oh, yeah. Let's go to a nice restaurant and order the tasty fish.
Oh, okay, maybe delicious fish.
We know who named the show.
I mean, Kevin, you're not wrong.
But when you think of the word carp, you picture the gross fish when you go to the Lake of the Ozarks and you walk down the dock to like the dockside, lakeside restaurants, right, when you're a kid, and you see all the carp and their gross little lips coming out of the water and you spit because they eat the spit.
What?
That's what you do when you're a kid. You spit into the lake where all the carp are.
Ew.
I know.
What? That,
how have you not spit into, if, what's our text line?
What do you mean? The number?
Just say the number.
314-436-7900 if you want to text in.
Yes, that way people can text if you would spit at the fish at the Ozarks.
I never did that. What's disgusting?
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
I don't recall doing that.
I've never heard of that.
And I'm a spitty person. Like, I'm not one of those, never do that in public. I mean, you know.
There's
so,
no
I'm
way.
I'm a former baseball player.
But that's
like,
why
we
you
that.
Can't eat a fish called carp.
I don't know. These carp aren't bottom feeders. They you know, swim out in the open and they eat clean stuff, right? So it should be a perfectly fine fish to eat.
You can't.
I'm a fish guy. I love fish.
I'll eat any kind of fish.
Too.
Yep. Just tell me it tastes good. I don't care what you call it.
Well, you want it to be called tasty fish.
Yeah.
Not really.
I'm being a smartass.
Good fish. Like, hey, we'll order the good fish.
I just feel like are we children? Because we had to do that kind of thing to fool kids into eating stuff they don't want to eat.
Yes.
So you call it something else, or you dress it up, or you put a, here comes a little airplane. I mean, is that what we are?
Yes.
You can't just say, by the way, Asian carp are really tasty. We're going to put them in the stores. You should eat them. We got to fool everybody and be like, no, it's not that. It's Kopi.
Yeah. What if you called wheat thins wheat fats? Nobody would eat it.
Marketing matters, Kevin.
Marketing matters.
But they're thin. It would be really stupid to call them fat.
Well, but what if they make you fat? Well, I don't know if they do.
I mean, they would if you eat too many.
Probably.
But just, you know, it just wheat
so the Asian carp.
Sounds better.
Yes, because they're thin little crackers.
Right, but marketing matters.
Like if you said, like, here's a Big Mac and we're going to call it the Skinny Mac. I mean, like, that's a huge sandwich.
Well, I think there is a Skinny Mac.
What?
There's like a, one patty Mac. I'm almost positive.
One patty Mac?
Like it's just one, it's not the double.
I just like, I am very much half kidding when I'm saying all this, but are we children?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
We're basically 50% children, 50% Beavis and Butthead. We've established this. That's who we are as a country. Oh my gosh.
Oh God. See, don't bring it up. If you bring it up, then he does that.
I should not have.
Yeah, I think it's called like a Little Mac, like a Big Mac's got a Little Mac thing.
Kopi rocks.
And then there's a bigger one that's got like four patties on it. Anyway, we're off. What are we talking about, fish?
We're just into the ridiculousness of having to rename something because otherwise people won't want to eat it.
Okay, we have a texter in who happens to be Mrs. Mark Scores, and she said that dad.
Your mom?
Mm-hmm. So my dad.
Hi, mom.
Taught her to spit off the bridge at the fish. So
what?
I learned it from my mom and dad.
I don't know what's going on in that Mark Scores house. But I kind of want to hang out there for a while. Just let me hang out at your house. Because you used to have boy-girl sleepovers when you were a kid.
Oh, my
can I
gosh.
Come stay at your? Can I come stay at your parents' house for 48 hours?
They would love to
just
have
bring
you.
The tasty
That's
fish.
Great. It's called good fish, Kevin.
Kopi. Or delicious fish.
Whatever. I will.
Chuck's band. You know Chuck.
I know
the
delicious fishes. That's why I did it. My buddy Chuck Williams.
Okay.
Good man. Very good man.
I don't care what you call the fish. I'll eat slime head all day.
Well, Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.